From Johannesburg is our African football guru, David Legg. Happy New Year, David.
Yes, thank you, Sonny, and also a Happy New Year to all our listeners around the continent of Africa.
David, as we talk, we're now 11 days away to the kickoff of the 30th Africa Cup of Nations football tournament in Equatorial Guinea. Let's go group by group. I know you've been compiling tidbits about all 16 teams that will be on the pitches in Equatorial Guinea. We'll go alphabetical order and begin with Group A, Burkina Faso. What's the latest with the Stallions, David?
The Stallions, Sonny, are on their way to my homeland, South Africa, where they're going to play two friendly matches in Nelspruit, which is in the northeast of the country. And that's where they were based in 2013. And I know all our Voice of America listeners have got excellent memories when it comes to football. And they will recall that it was there that Burkina Faso did extremely well. In fact, they went on to reach the final against all odds before losing to Nigeria. What they're going to do, Sonny, they're going to play Swaziland on the 10th. And then on the 13th, they're going to play Botswana. So two warm-up matches. It's an interesting choice, Sonny, South Africa, because the weather conditions here are much cooler than they are in Equatorial Guinea. But the Belgian coach of the Stallions, Paul Putt, he obviously knows what he's doing. He got the rank outsiders to the final of the last tournament. Nevertheless, a slight surprise to me. I thought maybe they would camp somewhere in Central Africa.
Congo Brazzaville. They're next, David.
Yes, Sonny. Congo Brazzaville. Now, the interesting fact with Congo Brazzaville is their coach, Claude Leroy. He has been to the finals seven times, going back 30 years. So if experience on the touchline counts for anything, they could well be one of the dark horses of the 2015 Africa Cup of Nations in Equatorial Guinea. And a quick look, Sonny, at his record. Way back in 1986, his love affair, as he's called it, with Africa began. Cameroon were runners-up. 2 years later, he guided Cameroon to the title in Morocco. In 1990, he was a semi-finalist with Senegal. In 1992, he was also with Senegal and was a quarter-finalist. 2006, now he's with the Democratic Republic of Congo, and they reached the quarterfinals. He did even better 2 years later, 2008. He took Ghana, the host nation, to third place. And then finally in 2013, he was with the Democratic Republic of Congo, and for the only time in his tenure in charge of teams, he failed to reach the quarterfinals, the DR Congo side finishing third in their group. So if experience on the bench counts for anything, watch out for Congo Brazzaville.
Next in alphabetical order, David, is the host country. Financially, what is it costing Equatorial Guinea to stage the tournament?
The estimate is about $40 million. And that is one of the main reasons Equatorial Guinea stepped in as last-minute replacements. My understanding, Sonny, is there might, I stress might, have been one or two other countries who would have taken on the task of hosting this competition at the last minute, remembering that because of the Ebola epidemic, Morocco had pulled out. But that figure, that $40 million figure, really put them off. I think Angola were possibly another country that could have footed that sort of a bill. They're like Equatorial Guinea, they're rich in natural gas and oil reserves. Although we do know that the price of oil has plummeted of late on the international market, but the Angolans said that they had not budgeted for tournaments such as the Cup of Nations and therefore could not host it. So now we have Equatorial Guinea, a country which is part mainland and part island and has a population of less than 1 million people. They, for the second time in 4 years, are going to host the creme de la creme of African football.
Next up, we have Gabon, which co-hosted the 2012 tournament, David, with Equatorial Guinea. What's the latest with the Gabonese?
The Gabonese have suffered a blow. They've lost midfielder from Marseille by the name of Mario Lamina. He's a young Gabonese-born but French-reared player, highly rated. He was a member of the French team that won the World Youth Championship 2 years ago. And this is one of these classic cases. Sometimes, Sonny, you have a player born in Africa but reared in Europe. And then alternatively, you have a player born in Europe but of African parentage who's wanted by his country of his parents' birth. But Lamina has decided not to heed the call-up. He says he's unavailable. He hopes one day to play for France. And Bonaventure Sakambi has taken his place. So a late change to the Gabonese squad.
Turning to Group B, David, how about the Blue Sharks from Cape Verde?
Interesting thing about the Blue Sharks is the names of their players. For example, you've got Platini. Now, people will say, hold on a minute, Michel Platini retired a long time ago. He's now the president of UEFA. He was, of course, that great French midfielder. Well, actually, the person I'm referring to, he was christened Luis Carlos Almada Suarez. But like so many players from those island archipelago off the west coast of Africa, he prefers a nickname, and he was a great lover of the football of Platini, and he goes by that name. There's also some inventive nicknames among the strikers of the Cape Verde side. For example, there are two Mendes. There's Gary Mendes, who plays for Elche in Spain, and Ryan Mendes, who plays for Lille in France. So, intelligently, one of them chose the first name, that was Gary, and the other chose the surname, which is Mendes. So, when you're watching the final, Sonny, you'll see Gary and Mendes, but they're actually both Mendes. Now, I hope I've totally confused you by telling you that.
Now we turn to the Democratic Republic of Congo, David. What's the latest with the Congolese?
Well, the interesting thing with the Congolese, again, for those who are going to be watching the finals, and I'm sure that's just about every African on the continent and many outside it, is that it will be the swan song for the great DR Congo goalkeeper, Robert Kidiaba. Now, Robert Kidiaba is the man who invented what they call the bum shuffle. He shuffles around the goal mat on his bottom every time either his club, TP Mazembe, or the national team score a goal. He's got this amazing hairstyle, dreadlocks with a big capital D. And he's also, though, at 39 years of age now, reaching the twilight of his career. And Kidiaba has told reporters in DR Congo that come what may, Equatorial Guinea will be his international swan song. I must say, Sonny, when it comes to colorful characters, African football will be much the poorer for his retirement.
Next up, David, we have the 2004 Nations Cup champions, Tunisia.
Unfortunately, injuries are playing havoc with a lot of the teams, and one of them is Tunisia. They've lost one of their midfielders, Ben Hatira. Now, what the Tunisian coach, George Leekens from Belgium, has done, he's named 26 players, and the deadline is January the 7th for the final 23. So with Ben Hatira out, I guess that's made it slightly easier for Leekens, because now he's just got to drop two players from the Carthage Eagles. And the Carthage Eagles team, Sonny, that I feel are definitely potential champions in Africa in 2015.
The 2012 champions are next, David, Zambia.
Right, Sonny, and there, a change of captain. For a long time, it's been Stopila Sundu. He's a huge central defender. He formerly played for TP Mazembe in the Democratic Republic of Congo, but then moved to Sochaux, who are now playing in the French second division, relegated at the end of last season. But he's been moved aside, and in his place, wearing the armband, comes Rainford Kalaba. And guess what? He also plays for TP Mazembe in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Now, that close Congolese-Zambian connection makes geographical sense, because Mazembe are based in Lubumbashi in the very south of DR Congo, and it's quite close to the Zambian border. And Rainford Kalaba, unfortunately, not a winning debut at the weekend. Zambia played South Africa in Soweto and lost that match 1-0.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. And David will have more Soccerlicious Nations Cup analysis for us later this week, right here on the Sunny Side of Sports. In more Nations Cup news, host Equatorial Guinea has confirmed the Argentine Esteban Becker as their new head coach, replacing the Spaniard Andoni Goico Texia. The 50-year-old Becker had been in charge of Equatorial Guinea's women's team, which he led to the African title in 2012. Coach Becker will not have time on his side. He has 11 days to prepare Equatorial Guinea for the opening match of the Nations Cup on January 17th against Congo Brazzaville. Equatorial Guinea will also play Gabon and Burkina Faso in first-round group play. Turning to tennis, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports shout-out for Serena Williams, the world's top-ranked women's player. Serena won her opening match of 2015 at the Hopman Cup tournament in Perth, Australia. On a sweltering hot day in Perth, Serena rallied for a three-set victory over the Italian Flavia Panetta. The final score, love 6, 6-3, and 6-love. After losing that opening set 6 games to love, Serena said, "I need some kind of energy boost." So she had a cup of coffee while sitting courtside, and the coffee did the trick as she won the next 2 sets. "I didn't know Serena was a coffee drinker. I love coffee, Serena, and I've got a few blends in mind that I can recommend to you this year in 2015. Serena Williams used that tournament in Perth as a warm-up for the Australian Open, which begins on January 19th in Melbourne. And Serena Williams will be bidding for her 19th, count them, 19th Grand Slam singles title in Melbourne. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.